Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast. It is the 9th of April, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, and the HAT podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online to learn more at ffbt.com. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller check in with the news today. We'll have a planting condition update after storms last week and some farmer reaction to the trade war with China. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin calls for temperatures not quite as cold, but rain also returns to the Indiana farm forecast. And the market's up yesterday, led by the soybean complex. Market analysis coming with Arlen Suderman on the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Last week's storms putting the pause button on planting and the trade war with China. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today News. Storms ripped across Indiana last week, leaving plenty of flooding and, in some cases, damage behind. Hoosier Ag Today Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says the northern half of Indiana was hit by damaging winds, storms, and even some tornadoes.
Most notable, we had a couple of tornadic supercells that popped up over the northern parts of Indiana into southern lower Michigan, and then we actually had a couple more that worked their way through central parts of the state. The storm tracks that I hear the most about, and we've been digging into the most in central Indiana, that Brownsburg to Carmel kind of area where a tornado came through out of one of the systems over the past week, and then up north, midweek last week, we had one move through the Bourbon area.
South of Indianapolis, significant flooding is the story.
We've seen pictures of flooding off of the Ohio River, the White River spilling into some spots. Very, very impressive flooding pictures. But Eric, even if we're not seeing flooding, we picked up anywhere from 6 to 10 plus inches of rain in southern Indiana out of this. So even if it's not river flooding we're dealing with, we probably have some ponding. And even without ponding, you've got a super moist soil profile.
And that super moist soil profile is what will keep farmers from turning a wheel for a while, according to Martin. He says Mother Nature isn't quite ready to cooperate, with spits and sprinkles remaining in the near-term forecast. His prediction right now is to when farmers can get back in the field.
I'm looking at that week after Easter as one that may start to bump our temperatures up significantly, stringing together maybe a full week of above normal temperatures. That's issue number one. That helps. But issue two is less rain to no rain. And I think as we move into that later, that last full week of April time period, maybe we start to string together multiple dry days back to back. Can I give you a full 10 to 14 dry days back to back? Probably not.
Hear more from Martin and see his Indiana farm forecast at HoosierAgToday.com. Soybean prices have taken a major hit since President Trump announced his tariff plan last week. CJ Miller joins us now with reaction from this farmer on the trade war with China.
We're obviously very concerned because exports are the heart and soul of the soybean industry here in the United States.
And that's Caleb Ragland, president of the American Soybean Association. He's also a corn and soybean producer from Magnolia, Kentucky.
We export right at 50% of all of the soybeans we produce. And China in particular is our largest export customer, currently taking right at a quarter of all of U.S. production. So every fourth row of soybeans you see has currently been going to China.
He says the last trade war 7 years ago already cost U.S. soybean farmers a chunk of market share in China.
We have the precedent from the trade war in 2018. At that time, one out of three rows was going to China. And after all the dust has settled, we have never gained back that full market share that we had. We've lost about 9% of U.S. production that used to be exported to China that now isn't. And our competitors in South America mainly in Brazil, have filled that spot. And China has partnered with them and invested in infrastructure and ports and rail and roads and bridges. And we're not likely to get that back.
Ragland adds that a new trade war with China will likely cost America's farmers even more overseas market share, something they can't be profitable without.
How that relates to now is that we give an opportunity to our competition, they're going to take that and gobble that up, and we're liable not to get it back. And we must have strong exports in order for the soybean industry and agriculture in general to remain strong in the U.S. And we're in a tough stretch with the farm economy already, and hurting exports in combination with the already struggling farm economy is very, very dangerous and very scary for us in ag.
Just after President Trump's 54% tariff rate increase on Chinese imports, China imposed their own retaliatory tariff of 34% on all U.S. imports. Trump has since threatened to tack on an additional 50% tariff if China follows through with their tariff hike. I'm C.J. Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Here's what we're looking at today. Temperatures that are not as cold as what we've seen the past couple of days. We are on the backside of this Canadian high-pressure dome, so south flow is starting to take over for today. That south flow is going to bring in the warmer air, but with the warmer air, we've also got some moisture that we're going to have to deal with, and I think that starts late this afternoon and evening, going through tomorrow morning. We make a pause for tomorrow midday and early afternoon, and then moisture comes back tomorrow night into early Friday. Both rounds are a few hundredths of an inch to maybe a few tenths, so I think combined for today through Friday morning to midday, we're probably looking at half an inch of moisture or less. But here's the key. As much water as we have across the state right now, the key is that we're not going to do any evaporative drying or any drying at all over the next several days from this afternoon, late this afternoon forward. Now, once we get into the late Friday time frame, we're going to see the other effect of this moisture drawing down some colder air to finish the week. Friday is cooler, but it doesn't last long term. Definitely seeing a big surge in temperatures for Saturday afternoon and evening, and Sunday is going to be quite mild. So it's a nice setup for the weekend into the start of next week. We should be dry for the weekend as well. Monday starts dry with sunshine and warm air, but rains come back Monday afternoon, anywhere from a few hundredths to maybe half an inch coverage. The southern 50% of the state sees good coverage. Up north probably don't see much at all. Then Tuesday is cooler but dry. Wednesday, cool but dry. Thursday of next week, warmer, maybe a few hit and miss scattered showers up north, but not a big deal. And then Friday, next Friday the 18th, we are warm, but we also have rains coming through, anywhere from a quarter to three quarters of an inch coverage, 90% of the Hoosier State, going into a Easter weekend that features on again, off again moisture. Saturday the 19th, hit and miss scattered showers. Sunday, Easter Sunday though, at this point does look dry, pushing all moisture farther south, and that should set us up for the following week to be dry into Tuesday the 22nd, Wednesday the 23rd, before a large system wants to come together. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great rest of your day. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Every piece of equipment tells a story. The combine that helped build a family farm. The excavator that shaped communities. These aren't just machines. They're chapters in someone's journey. At Purple Wave Auction, we understand that selling your equipment means trusting us with your legacy. And when you're buying, you're not just getting a machine. You're becoming part of this continuing story. From farm to farm, job site to job site, we help write the next chapter. Purple Wave Auction, the easiest and most straightforward way to buy and sell equipment.
Corn, wheat, and beans, this time all go higher. This is Hoosier Ag Today. It's the Tuesday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. I'll have settlements coming up. We'll begin with market analysis from Arlen Suderman of StoneX. I spoke with him near the end of the Tuesday session. It was a higher move across many markets, equities included, so a nice rebound there, and especially for the ags in the soy complex. Beans, bean oil, and bean meal all higher, Arlen, so about time that we finally turn things around. Does that suggest a bottom has been found, though?
I don't think we can confidently say the bottom is in, but I do think that we can say that we may be forming a bottom, and I think it's encouraging. And I would start there with the fact of how well corn held up on Thursday and Friday when the rest of the markets thought the world was falling apart. The fact that the funds failed to really want to push corn lower, I think, spoke volumes. And then they pulled wheat into that same scenario, and both corn and wheat held up on the charts pretty well. And then soybeans, which saw the biggest losses on Thursday and Friday, they saw quite a comeback today. And while we didn't finish near the highs, we certainly were well off of the lows with some decent gains there. I was asked why soybeans had the big gains today, and I think it's simply because they fell the most during the washout in the other markets.
And as such, still have the most room to make up.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I think the question is, where do we go from here? We priced in the worst case scenario on Friday. That would be the whole world's going into a trade war that's going to put us into a global recession. That's one end of the continuum. The other is 70 countries have said we want to negotiate tariffs down. You get a global lowering of tariffs that stimulates global economic growth, increased demand for commodities. That's the bullish side. We're going to end up somewhere in between that continuum. How far to the right or to the left on that continuum will we be? But the one thing it appears now, it's early to make too many assumptions, it appears that the funds are saying, We've got some fundamental stories for corn and wheat in particular, and if we get a good RFS policy from the EPA, we could have it in soybeans as well with these lower acreage. We want to maintain some ownership because grain and oilseeds haven't performed as well the last few years. Maybe it's their time because people aren't going to put retaliatory tariffs on food commodities. At least that may be the thinking, and it hasn't happened yet outside of China, and so they're buying into the grain and oilseeds.
Typically, at this time of the year, we're talking about planting and what kind of acres will be planted, what kinds of conditions we're looking at as well. And obviously, the tariff discussion has taken center stage, but all of that other typical ag-related stuff matters. And where are we with that right now? Certainly, flooding is a part of it.
Flooding's a big part of it, and that's another factor supporting wheat. Soft red winter wheat does not like wet feet, and that can hurt our production. And so that's part of what's providing support for the wheat market. We also have areas in the plains that missed out on the recent rains, and that's true in Russia as well. So we still do have risks on the wheat production side. We have some weather risks of dryness in Brazil as they approach pollination of their winter corn crop. And we also have a series of forecasters that have been lining up to say there are some risks for the Midwest crop, particularly west of the Mississippi, this summer. So all in all, we've got some reasons to pay attention. This tariff war with China could end up shifting the acreage even a little bit more toward corn away from soybeans, and that's another factor helping provide some support for soybeans.
The protein sector in recent sessions, Thursday, Friday, Monday as well, really took it on the chin. A comeback on Tuesday, although off of those highs as well. So what do you see in the cattle and hog markets right now?
It comes down to trade. And the trade war with China that looks to be ongoing for a while is going to hurt our export demand for beef and for pork. The stock market collapsing on Thursday and Friday raised a lot of worries about whether we'll lose the consumer as well. We got some support today from the stock market bouncing back. That's still a little bit iffy, but that allowed a bounce back. The cash market remains solid. We've been seeing some erosion in the cash hog market, but the cash cattle market still remains well above the board and supportive overall. We did get some updated monthly February import-export data released late last week showing a continued trend toward more imports of beef and less exports. So imports generally up 6% versus the previous year. When we look at the February data, exports were down 7% year on year. On the hog side, we're just trying to hang on to the consumer there. Overall, export total monthly shipments of 565 million pounds on a carcass weight basis were down 5% year on year.
Arlen, also this week, Thursday, a crop report from USDA. What expectations of that might you have?
Well, we'll expect USDA to incorporate its stocks numbers from March 31 into their supply and demand balance sheets. But since there were very few surprises there, I anticipate they won't make any adjustments. We do anticipate that they will increase corn and possibly soybean exports. And trade's been anticipating that for the last couple of months and has not yet received those adjustments. So that we expect, which would tighten stocks up a little bit more. We'll also be watching to see if USDA makes further adjustments in the size of Argentina and Brazil's corn and soybean crops.
Arlen Suderman there, StoneX and StoneX.com. The markets are powered by Purple Wave Auction. Purple Wave makes buying and selling used ag equipment easy. For information, visit purplewave.com. On the Hat Tuesday market review, up 4.5 cents on the May corn contract, goes to 469. July up 4, 474 and three quarters. And Deese down 0.25 cents, 445 and three quarters. Up 9 3/4 in the end for May bean. 992 and three quarters. July 10.04, a gain of 7 cents. May wheat 540, up 3.5. In the meats, June live cattle higher but a lower close, down 55 cents, 193.62. And June lean hogs also worked higher much of the session but ended down 27 cents, 89.77. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.